ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
For now, of course, if you're all set and ready, you know what, so am I.
The Mighty Challenge.
25 questions in 5 categories. Our categories tonight. Category number 1, Scorpio. Scorpio. Category number 2, Bring in the Harvest. Category number 3, Oxford and Cambridge. Oxford and Cambridge. Category number 4, For the Birds. And category number 5, The Melbourne Cup. All right, Scorpio, Bring in the Harvest. Oxford and Cambridge, For the Birds, The Melbourne Cup. Sophie from Glen Iris is going to kick us off. Hello, Sophie.
Hello, Philip.
Hello, Sophie. what's up? What do you like here? Anything?
Well, I'm not hugely thrilled by the categories, but I might try Bringing in the Harvest.
Bringing in the Harvest. That's very noble of you, Sophie. I'm glad you're in your dungarees out there stacking the wheat sheaves. Question number 1. Dave in Tassie says, Phil, winning isn't everything. No, Dave, that's true. That is true. Question number 1, Bring in the Harvest. Which Dutch artist painted the 1888 works Harvest Landscape, Harvest in Provence, Harvest in Provence at the left Mont Majour?
Oh, my goodness.
I know.
Dutch.
Harvest obsessed.
Yes.
Which Dutch artist painted the 1888 works Harvest Landscape, Harvest in Provence, and Harvest in Provence at the left Mont Majour?
Well, I think Van Gogh was in Provence at one stage, so I'll go Van Gogh.
Here we go. Yes, it was. It was Vincent Van Gogh. Correct. Or Vincent Van Gogh. I've never sorted it out.
No, I think you have to get a bit guttural with it.
Give it to me?
I don't know.
Oh. Vincent Van clearing your throat. Question number 2. Bringing in the Harvest. Makar Sankrati is a January harvest festival of which religion?
A January harvest festival.
The Makar Sankrati.
I'm going to say the Hindu religion.
Correct. You're good on harvest, Sophie.
Who knew?
Who knew? Exactly. Liz says, of course winning isn't everything, unless, of course, you're talking about the fridge magnet. Well, that's true, Liz. There are some exceptions to the general moderate observation. That's true. Question number 3, Bringing in the Harvest.
Yes, please.
In the Northern Hemisphere, the harvest moon usually occurs in which month?
Oh, golly, in the Northern Hemisphere, the harvest would be, springy, perhaps. Oh, golly. I'm going to go with April.
Is the cruelest month? Is the cruelest month? No, it's not April. No, it's not April, Soph. No.
Thanks, Phil.
Bye-bye. See ya.
Bye.
No, it's not April. Hi, Bomber from Dowie. Evening, Phil. We lost our flagpole last night with a high wind. The thing just bent in half. Gee, that must have been a high wind. Okay. Jane from Homebush had Van Gogh. Grover from Ocean Grove. No, that's not correct. Tom from Yungay. G'day, Tom. Hi, Tom. Tom from Yungay. Hello, hello, hello. I can hear him. Has he gone off to make a cup of tea? Tom, are you there? I'll have to put you on hold, Tom. We'll come back to you in a second. Dan from Greenhead. Hello, Dan.
Hello.
Hi, Dan.
How are you?
Yeah, no, really well. Question number 3 we're up to, Bring in the Harvest. In the Northern Hemisphere, the harvest moon usually occurs in which month?
I think it's the season coming into before winter. I think maybe, is it in autumn?
No, in the Northern Hemisphere, the harvest moon usually occurs in which month?
Oh, month, sorry, October.
Not October. Sorry, oh, okay. Dan, no, but thank you anyway. Not October. Susanna on the Sunshine Coast. Hi, Susanna.
Oh, hi. I'm just going to say May because I can remember something about the Maypole dance.
Oh, yeah. No, it's not May. It's not May. Mark's in Darwin. Hello, Mark.
Hello.
Hello. The top end of Australia where the seasons are all very different, Mark. But anyway.
Oh, we have wet and dry.
Wet and dry. That's right. Wet and dry, getting leading up to the wet season, coming out of the wet season. Yeah. Question number three. In the Northern Hemisphere, the harvest moon usually occurs in which month?
June.
Not in June. No, it's not in June. Thank you. No. Loz from Lynham. G'day, Loz. Hi, Loz. Can't find Loz. No, Loz, we can't find you. David from Mount Kolar. G'day, Dave.
Yeah, g'day, Philip.
How you doing?
Hey, good, thanks.
Question number three. In the Northern Hemisphere, the harvest moon usually occurs in which month?
Okay. Well, it's got to be in autumn, like when they do their harvest, and it's not October, so I'll say September.
Correct, yes. Yes, correct thinking. I think Sophie and the others were onto the wrong end of the stick. Because you don't harvest in the spring.
No, that'd be our harvest in the Southern Hemisphere.
Well, you'd be making a complete stuff up if you're a farmer and you started harvesting in spring, I imagine. No. question number four. We're in the harvest, but you can move if you like.
Yeah, I might move.
Scorpio, Oxford and Cambridge, for the birds, the Melbourne Cup.
Yeah, I'll go with the birds.
For the birds, question number four. When Notre Dame's spire was re-erected in 2023, the golden rooster at the top was reimagined as another bird. Which one?
Oh, gee. I don't know. I'll just have to say yes. I'll just say an eagle.
Not an eagle, Dave. No. Okay. Thank you. No, not an eagle. Trevor from Croydon Park. Hello, Trevor.
Hi, Phil. No, I wasn't aware of this because the rooster has always been the symbol of France. So that's why it was a rooster in the first place.
When Notre Dame's spire was re-erected in 2023, the golden rooster at the top.
So the church...
was reimagined as another bird.
I have a few bits of symbolism, so I'll go a dove.
Not a dove, no.
Okay.
No, thank you. No, not a dove. Is Vincent, James in Mount Garnet says, is Vincent Van Gogh, as in clearing your throat, Welsh by any chance? Blackadder once said, don't ask for directions in Wales unless you want a whole spittoon worth of phlegm coughed all over you. Are the Welsh like that? I've got a Welsh relative, as you all know, I'm sure. Pat from The Point, correct, yes. Vicky from Maddington, correct. Grove from Ocean Grove says, was it an emu? It should have been an emu, I agree. Karen from Altona. Hi, Karen.
Hello.
Hello. When Notre Dame's spire was re-erected in 2023, the golden rooster at the top was reimagined as which bird?
I think I heard it. I'm not sure. Is it a phoenix?
Yes, it is. It's the phoenix. Correct, the mythical bird. But if you think about the phoenix re-emerging from the ashes, that's what it's all about. Correct. All right. Question number five. We're in for the birds. Or you can move.
Probably try the Melbourne Cup. I'm not very good at it, but I'm sure.
The Melbourne Cup, question number five. Which horse won the 2024 Melbourne Cup?
Let me think. 2024. Is that Knight's Choice?
Correct. Yes, it was. It was Knight's Choice. Question number six. The Melbourne Cup. Staying here?
Yeah, keep having a go.
Who wrote the 1886 poem A Dream of the Melbourne Cup?
Ooh. Yeah, who was around then? 1886. Look, I don't know. It's a Henry Lawson.
Not Henry Lawson, Karen, no. But thank you, bye-bye. No, not Henry Lawson. Jane from Homebush had the Phoenix, so did Jane from Hobart. All the Janes. Ray in the Bay says it was a golden bin chicken. Why not? Matt from Narrogin. We got some good suggestions here. A penguin. Penguin would look very good up there. Not as good as the emu, I think. All righty, Wade from North Adelaide. G'day, Wade.
Hello, Phil. Happy Melbourne Cup Day.
Happy Melbourne. Who's going to win the Melbourne Cup, Wade?
Mate, if I knew that, I'd be probably floating somewhere around the Bahamas on my own private yacht.
Well, aren't you? Well, that's where you're calling from, Wade. Oh, you mean you're not? Oh, you mean you're not? Oh, okay.
No, I'm here in very humble North Adelaide.
Oh, okay. All right. all righty. Well, it's given that you won't put us on a cert, what do you reckon for question number six? Who wrote the 1886 poem, A Dream of the Melbourne Cup?
I don't know. My best guess is Banjo Paterson.
Correct. It is. Yes, it was. Wow. 1886, Banjo penned A Dream of the Melbourne Cup.
Bring me a quart of colonial beer and some doughy damper to make good cheer. I must make a heavy dinner, heavily dine and heavily sup. Of indigestible things fill up. Next month they run the Melbourne Cup, and I have to dream the winner. Stoke it in, boys. The half-cooked ham, the rich ragu and the charming cham. I've got to mix my liquor. Give me a gander's gaunt hind leg, hard and tough as a wooden peg, and I'll keep it down with a hard-boiled egg. Twill make me dream the quicker. Now that I'm full of fearful feed, oh, but I'll dream of a winner indeed in my restless, troubled slumber, while the nightmares race through my heated brain and their devil riders spur amain. The trip for the cup will reward my pain, and I'll spot the winning number.
There you go. Maria from
CV. Wow.
I know. Maria from CV.
That was good.
Maria from CV Downs had Banjo Paterson. Harry in the Bay says, well, if it's not Henry Lawson, it's got to be Banjo Paterson. That's true.
Yeah, that was my reasoning, yeah.
Ah, Bruce from Hackham in South Australia said, well, it could have been C.J. Dennis. Oh, yeah, but I think he was later than that, wasn't he? Wasn't 1880? I think he was later than that.
Not sure, Phil.
Now, Wade, given you're the world's most unsuccessful punter, question number...
Absolutely.
Question number seven. We're in the Melbourne Cup, if you like, but we can move.
Yeah, could we please? What are the other...
For the topics? Birds, Scorpio, Bring in the Harvest... Oxford and Cambridge.
Please can we go Oxford and Cambridge?
Oxford and Cambridge. Question number seven. Who's the current Duke of Cambridge?
Oh, I don't know. I'll have a guess at Prince William.
Is that your answer?
Yes.
Correct. It is.
Wow. Two guesses. I can't believe
it. Yes. Prince William is the current Duke of Cambridge. He hasn't been relieved of his title yet, like other members of the family, but there you are.
Yeah.
I don't think he's likely to be. He seems a very well-behaved chap, Prince William, doesn't he?
Pretty much now. He had a bit of fun as a kid, as we all do, but, yeah, I think he understands what the responsibility is now.
Yeah, I don't think he had that much fun, didn't he? I mean, it was Harry who turned... Harry was in the Nazi kit at that party, wasn't he? I mean...
Yeah, that was a big mistake, that one.
But
Harry.
I don't think William says William had any egregious episodes. I don't think he
Not
has.
Not that I'm aware of, no.
Seems very well behaved, very mild-mannered fellow. Good on him. Wayne from Mildura says, Phil was last year's Melbourne Cup winner selected by Dominic Knight. Was I don't know, was it? Oh, I see what you mean. Knight's choice, yes. Perhaps. 1-300-800-222. Soft Dog says, who's the current Duke of York? Ha-ha, good question, Soft Dog. There isn't one. Well, there isn't one. It's back in the kit bag. Question number eight, Oxford and Cambridge. Staying here?
Yeah, why not, Phil? Why not?
What colour is Oxford Street on the traditional London Monopoly board?
It's a light blue.
Not light blue, no.
Okay.
Sorry, Wade. Thank you.
Thank you.
Back to back to your poverty existence there. Being... See you later. Bye-bye. Trev from Surfers Paradise, the other Trev, is with us. Hello.
The other Trev.
Yes.
Yes, it's so nice to be known as the...
Well, it depends on which Trev I'm talking to, Trev, as to who is the other Trev, if you see what I mean.
I know, and if I'm on with Travel Chapel and the other Trev's running
up... Oh, there's Trev's poking up from everywhere.
I know. They ought to bring in the exterminators.
Hmm.
All right, now what's the question?
Question number 8, Oxford and Cambridge. What colour is Oxford Street on the traditional London Monopoly board?
I think it's red.
No, it's not red. Sorry,
well,
Trev.
I'm wrong.
No, you are. See you later. That is true. Barnsley from Campbell's Creek. No, that's not correct. My texter, who doesn't say who you are, says, didn't William tell Ms. Markle to move on? I don't know. I didn't hear that. Yes. Robin says, from that poem, half-cooked ham, maybe that means half yours will win. Oh, well, maybe. Half yours is still the favourite. When I looked just before the program started, half yours was the favourite. Half yours won the Caulfield Cup, of course, and it's got that female jockey, Jamie Millam, on the back. So... anyway, they say it's going to be a wet track. It's been raining. Although other experts say it doesn't really matter because Flemington's such a magnificent racetrack, it won't really matter. The fact that nobody knows is part of the joy of the Melbourne Cup, isn't it, I think? All right, question number 8. Georgia from Moura. What is it, Moura or Moura? Where are you, George?
Moura.
Moura, hello. Question number 8. What colour's Oxford Street on the traditional London Monopoly board?
Oh, Oxford Street. With red, green.
Green is correct. Yes, it is. It's green. Oxford Street is green. Question number 9. George.
Yes.
What do you want to do, Oxford and Cambridge?
Yeah, we'll stick with that one.
You've got to answer these questions on your own, George, okay?
Yes, yes.
Which famous competition between Oxford and Cambridge was first held in 1829 on the Thames?
Was it?
Yeah, no, I think, I did ask you to answer these questions on your own. So let's do that. Well, Dom from Brunswick. Hello, Dom.
Hi, Phil. How are you going?
Pretty good. Yeah, pretty good. Question number 9, which famous competition between Oxford and Cambridge was first held in 1829 on the Thames?
So the Oxford-Cambridge boat race?
Correct, yes, the boat race, which is a rowing race between Oxford and Cambridge, first held in 1829. I think there's no real rules to it, are there? I think you can do whatever you like.
Not sure, never seen it.
Really, no, neither. Well, that counts for most of us, Tom. And maybe could care less. Question number 10. Jackie says, I can't believe people still watch the Melbourne Cup. Oh, yeah, they do. Oh, they do. Darren from Plenty. Valiant King will win running away. There you go. Question number 10. We're in Oxford and Cambridge. You can stay there. Otherwise, you can move wherever you like. Bring in the Harvest Scorpio for the birds, the Melbourne Cup.
Let's stay, please.
Oxford and Cambridge. Question number 10. Christ Church College in Oxford was founded in 1546 by which English king?
Christ Church College, 1500s. I'll say King Henry V.
Not Henry V. Sorry, Dom. No, not Henry V. That's probably true, Liz. That's very interesting. It could be a very long time before the Dukedom of York is given out again. Historically, if available, it goes to the second son of the monarch. but I can't see William, when he becomes king, wanting it for little Louis. No. Oh, well, I suppose not. No, I see what you mean, yeah. Well, I suppose it could just stay in it. Maybe it just stays in abeyance. Until who would become king after William? George, the little cherubic little George. Oh, maybe George has it in his back pocket. Yeah, but you're right. It couldn't, it may not, I mean, in as much as these things, if we care about these things, maybe that's right. There'll be no more Dukes of York for a very long time. 1-300-800-222 is the number. Lines free, by the way, if you want to grab one. There are lines free. And Maria from Seaview Downs, that's not correct. Andrew from Seaview Downs, that's not correct either. What about Vicky from Geelong? Hi, Vic.
Hi, Phil. How are you?
Really good. Question number 10. Christchurch College in Oxford was founded in 1546 by which English king?
King George the Eighth.
Not King George the Eighth. No, not King George the Eighth. I don't think there's ever been a King George the Eighth, but there you go. Arthur from Dover in Tassie says rowboat racing, i.e. rowing, was formerly known as pulling, says Arthur. Is that right, Arthur? I didn't know that. Soft Dog says there's a German horse, number 10, bred in France, called Flatten the Curve, that may bob up. Been Baltican in, likes it wet in the distance. There you go. All right. One, if you've got a sure thing, then you've got a duty to let the Nightlife family know so we can all get on it, eh? Diana from Woodnelling says, all I know about the Melbourne Cup this year is the track is wet and the female jockey is on the favourite. That is true. Jamie Mellon, the female jockey, is on Half Yours, which is the favourite. Mind you, it's already won the Caulfield Cup. It's not the top weight, though, not by any means. So, you know, it can run the distance. We know that. Lines are free. 1-300-800-222. Justin in Frankston. Hello, Justin.
G'day, Phil. I'm actually in hospital at the moment.
Oh, no, that's no good.
Yeah, no, I just vomited blood, but I'm on an IV drip at the moment.
Oh, okay, well, anyway. Do you know any likely? Do you know when you're coming out?
No, not at this stage. I haven't seen the doctors yet, but...
All right.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, best of luck, Justin. Question number 10. Okay. Question number 10. We're in Oxford and Cambridge. Christchurch College in Oxford was founded in 1546 by which English king?
I'm going to say King George.
Not King George, no. Not King George, no. Thanks, Justin. Best of luck for your hospital stay. Thank you for the text. The grand old Duke of York, he had 10,000 men. He marched them up to the top of the hill and he marched them down again. Not so much. Soft Dog says, I sort of feel for Fergie as she's had the rug pulled out from under. I don't know. I think the days of sympathy for Sarah Ferguson are probably long gone, aren't they? D in the Central Coast says, evening. Remember when the Melbourne Cup actually did stop the nation and Halloween was a non-event? Yeah, I know. I think that's fair to observe. I think the attitudes towards the Melbourne Cup have changed over the years. There's probably not as much interest in it as there used to be. You might disagree. Anyway, it's a bit like Halloween, isn't it? If there's fun to be had, we're usually up for it. Ian from Rydalmere says, Phil, I've no idea number 20. What? I don't understand what you're saying there. All right. Barnsley from Camels Creek says, we used to get a thripney bit off my nan if you picked the winner of the boat race. This is in the early 60s. Well, you had a 50% chance of being correct, Barnsley. William in Rowlands. G'day, William.
Yes.
Hello. Christchurch College in Oxford was founded in 1546 by which English king?
I'm going to go King Henry the Third.
Not Henry the Third, no. Not Henry the Third. No, Kate in Bondi's got the right answer. Fergie wrote letters apologising to Jeffrey Epstein. Yes, she did. No. Well, Fergie's behaviour over the years, I think, is probably everyone, I imagine, is a jack of it by now, aren't they? Particularly her spending habits. The grand old Duke of Cancelled. True. Terry in Geraldton. Hello, Terry.
How you are, mate?
Not bad. Oxford and Cambridge. Christchurch College in Oxford was founded in 1546 by which English king?
Henry VIII?
Correct, yes. That's the one we wanted, 1546. Henry VIII founded Christ Church College in Oxford. All right, we're up to question number 11. We're in Oxford and Cambridge, but you can move if you like.
No, we'll stay with Oxford, Cambridge.
Staying with Oxford and Cambridge. Last one. Which theoretical physicist was the Lucasian Professor of Mathematics at Cambridge from 1979 to 2009?
Stephen Hawking.
Terry, you can't ask other people. It's just ridiculous. Come on, let's not do this. Ian from Warimba. Hello, Ian.
Thanks, Phil.
How are you?
Good. There's a horse in every race tomorrow that never starts but always finishes, and it's called You Mungrel.
Yes, all right. That is...
Would it be Stephen Hawking, the bloke in the wheelchair?
Yeah, which theoretical physicist was the Lucasian Professor of Mathematics at Cambridge from 1979 to 2009? The answer is?
Would it be Stephen Hawking?
Correct.
The bloke who was in the wheelchair?
That's absolutely right. Yes, Stephen Hawking, the brilliant physicist of black holes and other phenomena.
From the outside, you can't tell what is inside a black hole. You can throw television sets, diamond rings, or even your worst enemies into a black hole, and all the black hole will remember is the total mass and the angular momentum and electric charge. Quantum mechanics implies that the whole of space is filled with pairs of virtual particles and antiparticles that are constantly materializing in pairs and then coming together again and annihilating each other.
Did you understand that? Okay, that's the man himself. Obviously using a machine to translate his voice because, as we know, Stephen Hawking suffered from that terrible debilitating and wasting disease. All right, we're up to question number 12, Ian. What do you want?
We got
Bring In The... No more Oxford and Cambridge. So
yeah.
We've got Bring In The Harvest, Scorpio, For The Birds, The Melbourne Cup.
Harvest will be good.
Bring In The Harvest. Okay. Vicky from Maddington in WA says, when I moved to WA from Victoria many years ago, I was shocked by the lack of fervour over the Melbourne Cup. It was a cultural shock for me. question 12.
Yep.
Bring In The Harvest. Sukkot, also known as the Feast of Tabernacles, is a harvest festival in which religion?
Would that be Judaism?
Correct, it is Judaism. Yeah. Sukkot, also known as the Feast of the Tabernacles, is a harvest festival in Judaism. Question number 13, one left in the harvest, if you like.
That'll stay there, that'll do.
Fiesta Nacional de la Vendimia is an Argentinian harvest festival that celebrates what?
Would it be the harvest of... Wheat harvest?
Not wheat, no. Sorry, Ian, no, not wheat. Kate from Blackheath. Hello, Kate.
Hello. Was the other answer Henry VIII?
It was. Henry VIII founded Christ Church College in Oxford in 1546.
Yeah, I knew the Reformation was around that time somewhere, so I'm just going to guess that. Can I have that question again because I don't even understand it?
Bring In The Harvest.
Uh-huh.
Fiesta Nacional de la Vendimia is an Argentinian harvest festival that celebrates what?
Wine?
Correct.
Oh,
yes,
cool.
There you go.
Okay.
Yes, it celebrates the wine. What do you call it, wine harvest? We call it vintage, I think, here in Australia, don't we?
I was just going with the Vendi, sounded viney.
Vendimia. All right. No more Harvest or Oxford and Cambridge. So we've got Scorpio, For The Birds, The Melbourne Cup.
Let's go with The Melbourne Cup.
The Melbourne Cup. Phil from Drysdale says, I worked at the Flemington Racecourse 18 years ago. over the carnival. I didn't win once on the GGs. Well, no, well, that's not surprising. I think that's the whole point of it, isn't it, Phil? My only cup story that I have that was interesting to me anyways, once upon a time I interviewed a fortune teller on air on Melbourne Cup Day, and the fortune teller, who wasn't from Australian, they were American. Don't tell me why I was doing the interview. Don't ask me why I was doing the interview. And guess what? They told me who's going to win the Melbourne Cup. I paid no attention, of course, and it did. So there you go. Question 14, the Melbourne Cup. All right, here we go. Which horse won the first two Melbourne Cups?
That would have been Archer.
Correct. Yes, it was. When Archer won the Cup. Twice. All right, question 15. How long was the Melbourne Cup course before the introduction of the metric system?
The 2 mile.
It was. It was 2 miles. Yes, it was. Yeah. All right, question number 16 and the last one in the Melbourne Cup, if you like.
Okay.
What's the minimum age for a horse to compete in the Melbourne Cup?
That I wouldn't know. So I'm going to say, gee, you'd be too young to be a two-year-old. I don't know. Let's just go with the two.
Not correct. Sorry, Kate.
No, well, there we go.
Thank you. Bye. Thanks. Anyway, 1-300-800-222. My texter says, re the Duke of York. Now that they've changed the rules, Princess Charlotte comes ahead of Prince Louis in the order of succession, so I wonder if she might one day become the Duke or Duchess of York. Yeah, I suppose so, but I can't. But I think my earlier caller or early texter is correct in thinking William's never going to want to, he's never going to hand it out, is he? To his disgraced uncle, the honour that used to belong to his disgraced uncle. I think that'd have to wait a generation or two before it comes back, I would have thought. Lines are free, 1-300-800-222. We're up to question 16, 10 to go. Bert from Perth. G'day, Bert.
Hey, Phil, how are you going?
Pretty good. Question 16. See, everyone says no one not many people in Western Australia are interested in the Melbourne Cup. Bert, that may be true. I don't know. What's the minimum age for a horse to compete in the Melbourne Cup?
Well, I thought it was going to be 2 years. That's wrong, so let's have a crack at three.
Correct, it is. Yeah, it's 3 years. That's right. 3 years, that's right, the Melbourne Cup. So that's it for the Melbourne Cup. So we've got two categories left. We have 9 questions left. We're up to question 17. We've got Scorpio and For the Birds.
Well, I'm glad Roth the Horses is not my thing, so let's have a go at Scorpio.
Scorpio it is. Question number 17. Hank Scorpio is a charismatic supervillain from You Only Move Twice, an episode of which animated sitcom?
That's a classic Simpsons episode, I think.
It is a classic Simpsons episode. You are quite right. Yes, the mighty Simpsons. Mike from Hamilton Hill says, who was the last Duke of Dubbo? Ask Emily. yes, as Duchess. she would have known. That is true. Prince Chepessa from Tenderfield says, it's four-year-olds. No, it's not. They're three-year-olds. You have to be a minimum of three to get into the Melbourne Cup. Jack from Dianella says, the same guy from Kiama. Nice. My texter says, just on this whole Duke and Duchess, hopefully we've grown out of absurd titles by then. Well, we will have done so, but I'm not sure that the Brits will have. Bert, question 18. So staying with Scorpio, if you like, or not, or you can move.
No, let's stay with Scorpio.
Scorpio. The Scorpio Killer is the villain of which 1971 Clint Eastwood movie?
Oh, not super familiar with Clint Eastwood movies. I know he's a bit of a country western. I don't know. Clint Eastwood. Country and Western movie, maybe The Sundance Kid? Is that one of his?
Not The Sundance Kid, Bert, sorry. No, thank you for that. An angry texter says, disgraced uncle only by the media. Well, whatever view you take of Andrew, I think you'd have to say he's in disgrace, wouldn't you? Whatever view you take of it. Maria, that's correct. Yes, Jim in Campbelltown, correct. Where are we? Betty from Dapto. G'day, Bet.
Hello, Phil.
How are you doing? All right.
Yeah, I'm going well.
Are you downstairs with Fred or upstairs with Fred?
Upstairs with Fred.
Excellent. All right.
Our house is the living area downstairs and the sleeping upstairs.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, that's good.
And we named him Fred Astaire.
Yeah, that's good. No, Betty. We named him Fred Astaire for you. So I was worried there for a second you were going to give him another name because you can't, because Fred Astaire is the name of the stair lift. That's him.
Well, we got the holy water out and christened him the other day.
Oh, did you? Oh, good. Actually, I'm glad you blessed him with some holy water, because that will ensure safe passage, Betty.
That's right.
And we want a soft landing top and bottom.
Well, one of the surprises to me is that it's got a belt, you know, like a car.
Yeah, a seatbelt.
A seatbelt, yes.
Oh, is it really? That's quite funny, Betty. I was going to say, I hope it doesn't have an ejector button, does it?
I don't think so. If it has, I haven't found it yet.
Oh, I like the idea of the seatbelt. Oh, well, that's fair. I mean, I bet you don't wear your seatbelt, do you, Betty?
Oh, yes. It won't go if you don't put the seatbelt on.
Hang on, you're kidding. The chair won't go unless you put the seatbelt on?
No.
How?
It won't even turn around. Downstairs, it faces towards the hallway, but upstairs, it faces the top of the stairs.
Hmm.
When you come up on it, if you don't take your belt off, it'll just sit there, and then if you take the belt off, then it'll let you get up.
Oh, don't tell me it beeps at you.
Oh, it beeps at you.
Oh, dear.
For reasons.
Oh, it's worse than a modern motor car. Oh, that's good, Betty. I'm glad I'm glad it's working well. Hey, tell me, question number 18 we're up to. We're in Scorpio. The Scorpio Killer is the villain of which 1971 Clint Eastwood movie?
Well, I can't answer that because, you know, I'm not a movie watcher.
It's a tough one.
Well, I know that Clint Eastwood was in, I think, was Bridges, but I'm pretty sure that wasn't...
No, that's not it. All right, Bet. Thank you. Night to you and night to Fred.
There was something else I wanted to say to you, but I can't think what it was now. But anyway, I'll talk to you again.
Hey, Paul from Plainland says hopefully the holy water that had a drop of Betty's favourite drink in it.
Yes, it did have a little bit of a little bit of my favourite drink.
Yes. See you, Bet.
I've got a feeling we're going to get a bit of a bit of vintage out of this seat.
Have a good rest, Betty.
Thank you.
See you, bye. We'll talk again. Lovely. All right. Cameron from South Perth, who's home at last after being given a complete gear and grease and oil change. G'day, Cameron.
How are you, Philip?
Pretty good.
Phil, about this Melbourne Cup.
Yes.
It's unique in that it's the premier race in any country that's a handicap. So it's not the best horse that wins. It's the horse that gets the best chance by the handicapper making a mistake and under handicapping the horse.
Yeah. I was talking about all this to a friend of mine who's very interested in horse racing because I'm not that knowledgeable about it. And I was just to indicate how ignorant I am of horse racing, Cameron. I said, why can't they just have a race where there's no handicaps and the horses just line up and the fastest horse wins?
Well, that's the basis of every leading race in around the world. You know, they're genuine fastest horse wins.
But he said to me, well, I don't know, but he said to me that, yeah, but you can't do that because horses, you know, the horses race differently at different ages and blah, blah, blah. It was...
But they get an allowance for their age.
Yeah.
And whether they're male or female, there's an allowance, but the allowances are all worked out to equalise age and sex.
Oh, okay.
But, and this is why horses that win the Melbourne Cup very, very seldom, stallions that win the Melbourne Cup are ever used as stallions because it's not a guide of the value of the horse.
Okay.
All that it means is the handicap, I got it wrong. Now, the handicapper's charter is that he's got 24 horses and he's supposed to have 24 horse, if he gets it right, 24 horse dead heat. And he's never ever had a two horse dead heat. So that's how accurate the handicapper's work is.
But mind you, Cameron, trying to predict the outcome of a horse race, unless you're in league with the trainer and you've put it on the juice, is a bit hard, isn't it?
No, absolutely.
Yeah. All right, Soft Dog says wait for age of the true races. That's why the Cox Plate's the best race in Australia. Okay.
Yeah, wait for age. That's it.
Mm.
And that is every horse has the fastest horse wins the race. So in practice, I mean, he mightn't be the fittest, but the best horse wins at wait for age.
Yeah. Okay. So the you'd agree with Soft Dog that the Cox Plate's the best race?
Oh, yes. Yeah. But, But all the leading stallions of the world have won major races that are weight for age, not handicap races. It's just handicap races don't mean anything as far as breeding goes.
Mm. All right. Question 18. You sound as though you might be making a full recovery there, Cameron.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The other thing was I trained racehorses for 30 years.
Oh, did you? Oh, okay. Well, you know about it all, so there you are.
Yeah, bred horses and racing, yeah.
Oh, good on you. Have any good wins, Cameron?
Oh, I had some really top horses, really top horses.
Right.
I had one horse, Ink Street, he won 27 races. And now if they win four races, they're classed as champions. And he won 27.
How many did Winx win? Didn't Winx win about 30 in a row?
I think she was up about 15 or 18, I think.
Something like that, yeah.
But it wasn't 27.
Hey, Cameron, you'll be guilty of back in my day very quickly. Hey, question number 18. The Scorpio Killer is the villain of which 1971 Clint Eastwood movie?
Well, I know a bit about horses, but I know nothing about Clint Eastwood. Thank you very much.
And now, before you go, Cameron, who's going to win? The Melbourne Cup, I mean.
Yeah, the horse, the handicapper gets the worst wrong.
Thank you, Cameron.
I'm a real personal friend of the previous handicapper, a bloke called Greg Carpenter.
Oh, yeah.
He came from Western Australia and a very nice bloke, and he and I are on a 1-1, yeah.
Okay.
So,
someone's asking you whether they were 27 Group 1 races. They wouldn't be 27 Group 1s, no.
Oh, no. Hey, let's get reasonable. There wasn't even one Group 1 race, but it was 27 wins.
Yeah, no, that's okay. I know. I'm backing you here, Cameron. I'm thinking, come on, fair go. 27 Group 1s, no. All right, by the way, we just checked Winx raced 43 times for 37 wins.
37?
Yeah. 43 times, ooh, 37 wins and 3 seconds. 25 group 1 wins. It's a world record.
It would have to be.
In all the times that Winx raced, she finished out of the placings on just 3 occasions.
Yeah.
What an incredible record.
Yeah, good odds. Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Cameron. See ya.
Good on you.
Bye. Yes. All right. The Melbourne Cup is a bloody handicap race. Always has been. Get over it. If you don't like it, don't watch it. Thank you for that text. Question 18. Let's move on here. Pearl from Darwin. Hello, Pearl.
Hello, Phil. How are you going?
Good. Some people getting very hot under the collar about horse.
I don't bet on races, but I was thinking if I was to have a bet, I've learnt from your program tonight, there's a horse called Half Yours.
Yeah.
Being ridden by Jamie
Millam. Jamie Millam.
Well, if I was to have a bet, I'd bet on her because she's the granddaughter of my friend's friend.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jamie Mellum, she's the horse is called Half Yours. She was on it when it won the Caulfield Cup just a week ago. So there you go.
Yeah, the group she won. And that you were talking about the who could be the Duke of York.
Mm-hmm.
And the Duke of York supposedly has to be the second son of the reigning monarch.
That's right.
That's Prince Harry.
In Charles's case?
At the moment,
yeah. Yeah, I know, but there's no way in the known universe. Well, he's already the Duke of Sussex.
I know. Can you have two dukedoms?
Yeah, I think you can, but
I don't think they'd give it to him. But he is the second son of the reigning monarch.
That is true.
Yeah.
All righty. Question 18. The Scorpio Killer is the villain of which 1971 Clint Eastwood movie?
Well, I think it might be Dirty Harry.
It might be Dirty Harry. I agree. It's Dirty Harry.
This is about a movie about a couple of killers. Harry Callahan. And a homicidal maniac.
I know what you're thinking. Did he fire 6 shots or only 5? Well, to tell you the truth, in all this excitement, I've kind of lost track myself. But being this is a .44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off, you've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
Ah, yes, the classic line.
Do I feel lucky?
Do I feel lucky? Question 19. What do you want to do here, Pearl? Scorpio, or you can have For the Birds?
Oh, gosh. I'll just stay where we are, Phil, please.
For the Birds. Scorpio. Mm. Name either of the two members of Monty Python who are Scorpios.
Monty Python? Gosh.
No, there are two members of Monty Python who are Scorpios.
I have no idea, so I'll just go John Cleese.
Correct.
Oh, wow.
I said name either.
Yeah. There's more than two, aren't there?
Yeah, yeah. John Cleese was born on the 27th of October. You could also have named Terry Gilliam. He's on the cusp. He's on the cusp, but also a Scorpio.
To whoever finds this note, I have been imprisoned by my father, who wishes me to marry against my will. Please, please, please come and rescue me. I am in the tall tower of Swamp Castle at last. A call, a cry of distress. This could be the sign that leads us to the Holy Grail. Brave, brave Concord, you shall not have died in vain.
I'm not quite dead, sir.
Well, you shall not have been mortally wounded in vain.
I think I could pull through, sir.
Oh, I see.
Actually, I think I'm all right to come with you,
sir. No, sweet Concord, stay here. I will send help as soon as I've accomplished a daring and heroic rescue in my own particular...
idiom, sir?
Idiom.
No, I feel fine, actually.
Farewell, sweet Concord.
I'll just stay here then, shall I, sir? Yeah.
No, I didn't like Monty Python, but I loved Fawlty Towers.
Ah, dear. All right, question number 20. We're in Scorpio, if you like, but you can move.
Oh, might as well stay there, please.
All right. Which famous explorer and Scorpio was born on the 7th of November 1728 in Yorkshire?
Oh, my gosh. Famous explorer.
Famous explorer and Yorkshire. Scorpio was born on the 7th of November 1728 in Yorkshire.
No idea. Cook.
What's your answer?
Cook.
Or a bit more detail?
I don't know. Was it James?
James Cook. Captain Cook. Correct.
Oh, there you go.
Correct.
Wow.
There you are. See? All right. We've got...
just amazed myself.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5 left. We've got 1 in Scorpio, 4 in For the Birds.
I'd better go for the last Scorpio.
Last Scorpio. Which games console or games console was developed under the codename Project Scorpio?
Games console.
Which games console?
Oh, I've never played any of those things.
No, I know you haven't.
I don't know. I'll just say Nintendo.
That's nice to get one out of the way, isn't it? It helps others. Thanks, Pearl. So it's not Nintendo. No, not Nintendo. Liz says, by the way, all dukedoms depend on the if available. The Princess Royal title is similar. It will finish up with William Charlotte as the eldest, in this case only daughter of the monarch, and currently holds it. Oh, you mean the Princess Royal, yeah. it's a funny world, isn't it? Greg from Bentley East. Hello, Greg.
Hello, mate. How are you?
Pretty good. We're up to question number 21. Which games console was developed under the codename Project Scorpio? It wasn't Nintendo.
When you say games, is it G-A-M-E-S?
Games console, yeah. G-A-M-E-S.
Are we talking like... well, my initial answer is going to be Space Invaders. Are we talking that type of stuff?
Not Space Invaders, I'm sorry. No, not Space Invaders. Aidan from Brisbane. Hello, Aidan.
Hi, Phil. How are you?
Hi. Any idea?
I actually know this one because it is the first and only games console I've ever owned.
Which is?
The Xbox One X.
Correct. Xbox One X. That is absolutely correct. Nicely done. All right, Aidan, I'll put you on hold because we've got a news break to attend to, and then we'll answer the last four questions.
The Mighty Challenge.
Where we're up to question number 22. Aidan from Brisbane was up on deck. G'day, Aidan. Welcome back. Welcome back.
When the show comes back from the news break.
What's that?
I like the jazz music when the show comes back.
Good. Hey, question 22. We've got four left, all right? They're all in For the Birds.
Yeah.
You're in Brizzy. By what name is the Eastern Suburbs District Rugby League Football Club more commonly known?
That's the East is the Sydney Roosters.
Correct, it is.
I'm a Broncos fan, but yeah. I definitely know that one.
For the Birds, that's right. They're the Sydney Roosters, correct. Three to go. Question number 23. Which state is home to the RAAF's fleet of wedge-tail early warning aircraft? Which state?
Can you repeat the question, sorry?
Which state is home to the RAAF's fleet of wedge-tail early warning aircraft?
Oh, I'm going to say Western Australia.
It's not WA, Aidan, but thank you anyway. Thank you. It's not WA. Matt from Preston. G'day, Matt.
G'day. How are you going?
Pretty good. Which state is home to the RAF's fleet of wedge-tail early warning aircraft?
I'd have to say South Australia.
No, it's not South Australia. Sorry, it's not South Australia. No, this is making it easier for somebody, isn't it? Ah, Steve from Leicester. G'day, Steve.
Morning, Jenny. How are you?
Phil. You right there, Steve?
Just had an elder moment.
I've just got it. All those ABC people out there, I just got to get them in the right order.
That can be the case sometimes.
Question 23 is the number we're up to here. What do you reckon? Which state is home to the RAAF's fleet of wedge-tail early warning aircraft?
Well, I suppose, assuming the threat will come from the north, I'd have to say Queensland.
It's not Queensland. No, Steve, okay. Thank you. It's not, no. So it's not Queensland, South Australia or WA. So who's it going to be? Graham from Wanneroo. Sorry, Graham, you've been waiting on there. Hello.
Oh, hi there, yeah. All the birds. I was hoping that they're ornithological nature, but...
Well, we sort of are, really. Which state is home to the RAAS fleet of wedge-tail early warning aircraft? Now, it's not Western Australia, South Australia or Queensland, so we're narrowing it down here.
Yeah, and it's a state, not a territory, so there's only a couple left. I don't suppose it would be Tasmania, so I'm not saying that, so I'll say New South Wales.
Correct, yes, it is. It is. It's New South Wales. They're based and operate out of the Williamtown Air Base, which is outside of Newcastle. All right, two left. They're both in For the Birds. Which song on the Beatles' White Album was inspired by the American Civil Rights Movement?
That's Paul McCartney's Blackbird.
Correct. Very good.
Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these broken wings and learn to fly all your life. You were only waiting for this moment to arise.
Well, this puts you in the box seat here.
Oh, okay.
Graham?
Right, okay. I didn't know it was
What was that, Graham?
Oh, I didn't know that the song was to do with the civil rights movement.
Yeah.
I just thought it was to do with the Dawn Chorus approaching.
Here we go. Question 25. For the magnet and for the win, it's the category is for the birds. Ibis, flamingo, heron, crane, albatross are all terms from which water sport?
Water polo?
Not water polo. Oh, no. No, Graham, it's not water polo. Gail from Wollongong. Hi, Gail.
Hi.
Ibis, flamingo, heron, crane, albatross are all terms from which water sport?
Water skiing?
Not water skiing, no. Not water skiing. Tony from Ballarat. G'day, Tony.
G'day, Philip. Trick question, trivia. One of the really greats of the tennis era, Roy Emerson. Roy Emerson's born in 1936, his birthday.
Is it his birthday today?
Well, yesterday.
Oh, yesterday. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Third number, I think.
Oh, nice.
36.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for that. Ibis, flamingo, heron, crane, albatross are all terms from which water sport, Tony?
I'll go for synchronised swimming.
I'm glad you did. Tony from Ballarat, who's been a long campaigner and a very doughty one at that too in the Mighty Challenge, has taken off the magnet. Good on you, Tony.
Good, right, Philip.
Good on you. Don't
very
hang
nice,
up.
Very nice.
Yeah, no, it's good. Don't hang up. Hang on, because we'll get some details from you. No, not water polo. Synchronised swimming. Andrew from Box Hill had that. Mike from Hamilton had synchronised swimming. No, not wakeboarding, not diving. Jim in Campbelltown had synchronised swimming. Not so many people had synchronised swimming. I think we've kind of put it out of our minds a bit, haven't we? Thanks, Dinah from Woodnilling. Tokemwal was in World War II RAF training base, says Steve in Tokemwal. There you go. Phil, your unnamed commentator's irritation about the unproven guilt of Andrew is consistent. He has consistently lied, evaded the issue, and agreed to pay out something like $23 million to Virginia Giuffre. The firm doesn't shell out that sort of dough for nothing, says Carmel from Ballarat. No, that's true. He certainly did settle with Virginia Giuffre for something like, I think the figure was bandied at £10 to £12 million, which involved him apparently having to sell his ski chalet in Verbier in France. So you can't imagine him be shelling out that sort of dough for nothing. I agree with that. But that's just the tip of the iceberg, isn't it? I would have thought. Still, my text is still sending me outrage texts. You tell me who you are. Otherwise, give me a call and air your point of view.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.